talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And here we are, and then there was two here on the program today. Marge is out due to the weather, and Charlie is ill. If you listened to the program yesterday, Charlie had a little cold in his chest and couldn't speak very well. So Charlie's out today. So it's down to me and Brandy. We are the survivors.
Yeah. Hope you feel better, Charlie.
Yeah. We miss Charlie, and I'll be filling in for Charlie this afternoon. And we'll be doing a lot of giveaways and things of that nature. So that'll be a lot of fun. But, boy, this thing continues to go around.
Yep. That's winter.
It is winter.
that's how it goes. It got cold last night. 40-degree difference or something like that.
Yeah, it was
one
like
night.
60
yeah.
degrees when I went to bed, and when I woke up this morning, 20-something.
Yeah.
Big difference. Now, it's an interesting Friday because there is a lot to talk about, but before we do that, I do want to remind everybody that on Friday, March the 1st, we will be broadcasting 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. live from Tony Paco's in Toledo, Ohio. That is the date. The 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen Withrow being sworn in as the 40th Treasurer of the United States. So we will be headed to Toledo, Ohio. We will broadcast live from Tony Paco's. And if you don't know, there is a tradition there where people who have eaten there sign a hot dog bun. And then it's put on the wall. Nancy Reagan's in there. Burt Reynolds is in there. Mr. T's in there. And on that day, during our live broadcast from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., Mary Ellen Withrow will sign a bun. And she'll be on the wall. So we'll be there from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Friday, March the 1st. Won't that be fun?
That will be. Toledo's only a short jaunt across the border from where I grew up, so.
I've never been to Tony Paco's.
Oh, really?
No, so I'm excited to go in and try the hot dogs, and, you know, it'll be a fun day.
Yeah.
Be a good day. And Mary Ellen, she'll have a hot dog.
That'll be fun.
It'll be fun. Now, by the way, Mary Ellen will be on Valentine's Day as well. She'll be on next Thursday, February the 14th. Okay, so let's get down to business today because on Wednesday, the deadline came. If you wanted to run for party affiliation in Marion in the fall, you had to have your petition filed by Wednesday at 4 p.m. Now, the Board of Elections has until February the 19th to certify these petitions. So just because we're mentioning these names today doesn't mean they're good to go yet. We have until February 19th, but people are putting up their signs and things on Facebook and making announcements, so it's not like it's unheard of to talk about this stuff. So we'll talk about a few of these. Well, let me ask you, Brandy, you've seen the list. Did anything surprise you?
I don't think I was surprised so much. But it's going to be an interesting election cycle, I think. There are lots of pretty tough matchups. So,
well, let's start with the one on the only one primary that I see at
right.
this point. In the 5th Ward, Leslie Cunningham has been the council member for two terms, mm-hmm. and she is running again. Now, on the Democratic side, though, we get two Democrats who we've heard from before.
That's right.
Tara Dyer, who ran for county commissioner last year, and Tanner Hale, who ran as a Republican in the 3rd Ward? Yeah, I believe it was 3rd Ward. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, Schaubers Ward. Yeah.
Yes.
3rd Ward 4 years ago. I think that's right.
I don't remember.
We covered it.
They all blend together now.
2014 or 15, it was something like that. 15, yeah, 2015. So it was 4 years ago. Anyway, what do you think? We got a primary on the Democratic side with two people who have ran for office before.
Yeah.
Tara Dyer and Tanner Hale.
It's going to be interesting. I think they're, you know, they both have their strengths and weaknesses, and we'll just have to see how things shake down, I guess.
Now, Tara has lived in the ward longer than Tanner because Tanner was in the 3rd ward.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Tanner was a Republican when he ran back in 2015.
That is true.
So it's going to be interesting because wards are different. Because it's my understanding that primary will only be the registered Democrats in that ward.
That is correct.
So Tara living there a long time might have an edge.
Like I said, yes, she definitely has a lot of strengths. I think she would be an amazing councilwoman if she were to get elected and be the candidate. So, you know, I mean, I don't have any complaints about Tara Dyer at all. You won't hear any from me.
So that will be the only primary. If everything comes back certified, that will be the one. Now, the other one, yesterday we did the first interview with Kevin Norris since he announced he was going to run for mayor. He is the current two-term at-large councilman, but now running for mayor against Mayor Schertzer, and made a lot of interesting assertions during the interview yesterday.
Oh, did he?
He did.
I didn't hear the whole interview, I have to confess. I only heard part of it, so.
Well, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but he said yesterday that he believes that the line item veto that happened back in December, mm-hmm. that Mayor Schertzer did $100,000 from the municipal court's budget, was a political move. I believe mm-hmm. we called it a political move. And that's why he wanted to hire a police officer so quickly, because that looks good, is basically what he said.
Hmm.
And he also said that the biggest thing in front of council right now is that it looks like they are going to have to pay that $100,000 to the municipal court, and it's going to have to come from the general fund.
Hmm. I don't know about the first part. I mean,
didn't say it.
No, I know.
Don't send me any emails or anything. I didn't say it.
Look, I mean, I've been to several city council meetings, and my understanding of the situation with the police officer was that Chief of Police Bill Collins, right, that he was very eager to snatch someone up who they had already trained, who had gone to a different police department and now was available to come back, and in order to save the money and time of having to train an entirely new officer, they wanted to make sure they swiftly got that officer back on the force because, you know, they already had a lot invested in him.
So do you think that conversation happened prior to the line item veto then? Because that you would have to, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
See, that's the confusion of the whole thing, because the timetable is there were three readings on the budget,
mm-hmm.
and the mayor, out of his own mouth, says he never objected to it. He's in his head, he said he knew he objected to giving the municipal court that much money,
mm-hmm.
but he never said it at the meeting because he wanted to get the budget approved, and then he line item vetoed that and then directed it toward the police force. So when did the conversation happen that, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. That changes things.
I am not privy to any conversations between the mayor and the chief of police, but I know that that is what was said by Chief Bill Collins at the city council meetings where I was in attendance.
So if the line item veto had not happened, then there wouldn't have been another police officer?
I do not know.
See, it's all a little confusing. Question. It's all a little murky.
Yeah. I encourage anyone who is interested to come to city council. I think there's one on Monday. There's a city council meeting at 7:30. And come and ask the questions. You know, get it sorted out.
Well, I did find out yesterday from Kevin, and this is what he told me, that as it looks, they're going to have to pay that $100,000 to the judge, that it will come out of the general fund.
And that may be true. I do not know.
So that I don't know. I think that's interesting. I don't know if it's a political move, though, or not. Maybe not.
I don't know either. The explanation that I heard from the mayor, and maybe it was even on this show, I don't know, was that he thought that that particular budget was going to be lower. That particular part of the budget was going to be less than six figures when everything was, you know, came out in the wash at the end of the budget. And when it passed and he realized that it was still a pretty hefty, you know, amount of money on that particular
$177,000.
Yeah. That's when he was like, no, this is this has got to be cut. But I don't really know. That was the explanation I heard.
Well, it's also interesting because I asked Kevin if the council didn't agree with the veto, why wasn't it overturned? And he said that they were not aware there was a meeting called to overturn it. That it's all done very... I don't know. You'd have to listen to the interview, but it's... There was reasons given. Let's say that. And he also said that members on council don't get the agenda until the night of council, so there's not a whole lot of time to go through everything. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. The mayor's always welcome to come on and tell us differently, but that's where we're starting. But what I will say about this race is, and it's not a dig at the Democrats, it's just the truth. We deal in the truth here. Only one Democrat's won in 3 years who's had a race to run, and that was the sheriff. And more people are voting now, and apparently that's tending the Republican way. And Kevin is young. He's in his 30s. He's a business owner, owns two businesses in the community. He's a current councilman, and I think that's a tough challenge.
We'll have to see.
Well, we'll have to see, but I mean, do you agree that this will be, I think it'll be a closer race than the ones in the past have been?
That may be true. Yeah, especially if, you know, I think we know that there are a few other people who are planning to throw their hats in the ring. And,
yeah, Ed McCance
and that's going to shake
Miller.
Things up. Yeah, you know, they have time. They have till May 6th at 4 p.m. To file petitions as independents. But, you know, we'll see if they get it done by that time. And then that'll shake things up even further. So I really don't know.
Well, the only people who are unopposed at this particular juncture are Todd Schneider, the president of council, the person who is running for sixth ward, Billy Mayberry, and Ayers Ratliff in the second ward. Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll remain unopposed through the independent?
I don't think all of them will remain unopposed.
Who do you think will get opposed?
Prediction I don't time. Know if it's a good thing for me to make predictions. I don't want to put ideas in anyone's head.
Who do you think?
Well, I think it's possible that there will be someone to oppose Todd Schneider, and I think it's possible that there will be someone to oppose Billy Mayberry in the sixth, but we'll have to see.
We'll have to see. And if there are four people running for mayor, I don't know what that'll do to the dynamic.
I really don't.
Because
it's
during
be
I've covered all Scott's elections, and it was always a Republican and a Democrat, so that's it'll be different.
Yes,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And what I didn't realize till yesterday was everybody in that race is under 50. I don't think that's ever happened.
Oh, really?
The mayor is, I believe, in his 40s. Kevin is in his 30s. Ed is in his 30s, and Anthony's 18.
Well, there you
so
go.
So, what does this say about politics? Are we trending younger?
I don't know. I kind of hope so. I don't know so much at the local level that, you know, we do now, I think, have a pretty young city council, or younger than I expected them to be, I guess. But so I don't know if we necessarily need to keep going younger locally, but I think nationally we are starting to trend a little bit younger.
Well, it's also interesting. Robert Landon, the current first ward council person, is now headed to run for the auditor's office against Kelly Carr, which I think is a strategic move by the Republicans. I mean, they have the chairman of the Republican, or chairperson of the Democratic Party, is Kelly Carr.
Mm-hmm.
The vice chair is Mayor Schertzer.
Correct.
They've both been in office a long time.
Correct.
And the Republicans now have two men in their 30s running for both of those positions who are current council people.
That is true.
So I think there's a big duke out coming there.
I do think Robert Landon is going to be a tough opponent. It does make me give a little bit of side eye when I mean, he's only been a councilman for one term, I think.
Side eye?
Yeah. I don't know.
What a side eye.
I don't terribly love when it feels to me like people are just kind of climbing the ladder politically. I know it happens. I know it's important. It is a career choice, but I kind of feel like you need to learn everything about the position you're in before you you go on to the next one. And I'm not sure that one term as a city councilman prepares you to, you know, then move on to the next thing. But we'll have to see how the rest of Marion feels about it.
We'll find out. You know, it could be the year. You know, I keep saying the thing about the Democrats only winning one election, but this is a chance to change those odds and do something different. It could happen.
Yep.
So that's how that all shakes down, and anybody can get a list of that, and if anybody doesn't make it before February 19th, we'll let you know, but that's how it stands right now. Now, the only other political thing I want to talk about this week, there was finally a State of the Union address, which I thought went well. I thought the president, maybe not. Your eyes got big there. No, I thought, from what I understand, 80% of independents thought it was a good speech. I think he was presidential there. You
well,
don't.
I mean, up until the point at which he was threatening Congress, but I mean, you know, yay, he read
now
from the teleprompter.
What did he threaten Congress? I must have missed
well,
that.
Well, he said, so, I don't even remember
it was
the
a
exact
long speech.
Quote. And he, oh, it was forever. My goodness. But the part where he said, there can be no peace if there is
investigations.
Yeah, well. Just, oh, come on.
Well, he probably believes that.
Well, I'm sure he believes a lot of things that aren't factual, so.
I thought that he did a good job. A matter of fact, I was talking to somebody about this. A lot of things he said were very much of the Democratic Party. Prison reform, that's usually not a Republican issue. There were some pre-existing conditions, keeping those in place. That certainly is not usually a Republican issue.
Mm-hmm.
And paid leave for mothers and fathers. That usually is not a Republican. And the pullout of Syria. The Republicans looked confused when he said that. They didn't know. So his speech, in a way, there were not a lot of heavy-duty Republican issues in there. There seemed to be, in my opinion, outside of the wall, a lot more things that the Democrats want.
Well, I'll believe anything that he said when I actually see it happen.
Right,
because he's notorious for saying one thing and then doing the complete opposite. He's so fickle, he changes his mind immediately as soon as somebody else whispers in his ear that that's not what they want.
We don't know what will happen. All I'm saying is the speech in and of itself, I think, was a good speech, and I do think if he's talking about being reaching across the aisle, there were a lot of things in that speech that
he's
were
never going to reach across the aisle.
Can
he
we have hope?
No, nope.
No,
we have 2.5 years of evidence to the contrary. I believe what I see.
You're not in a very good mood 6 days away from Valentine's Day.
What am I doing for Valentine's Day? I don't even know.
Do your husband normally go out and do things?
No, I mean, we don't really go out. We're not terribly, I don't know. We don't buy into the whole, like, we have to go out to a restaurant. We probably go on, like, 2 dates a year.
Well, that's, I mean, it's important to do that, though. I think Valentine's Day for people is important.
I don't know.
Look at the stores. Candy,
well,
cards,
it's
roses.
It's important for capitalism. I don't know that it's important to actual people. I don't know.
I mean,
I've never had a Valentine's Day that changed my life or anything.
Well, but you know, a lot of people propose on Valentine's Day.
That is true.
A lot of people get married on Valentine's Day. So a lot of that may be going on.
And then if that marriage goes to the pits, then your Valentine's Day is forever marred.
Now, see, you're coming my way thinking on this whole thing. But it's true that I don't know what. I think that's what it is. No, I think it's a day to get engaged. I think it's a day to take whoever you want out to dinner.
Yeah.
I think it's an excuse to do those sort of things, which I think are nice.
They are nice. I feel like Valentine's Day gets built up in the minds of some people. Like, their expectations get so overblown and high that they're inevitably disappointed, and then it becomes a miserable, miserable day for them. And that,
have you had a miserable Valentine's Day?
No,
this sounds like you've had a bad turn somewhere.
I have not. But I watch it happen every single year that somebody is all excited for Valentine's Day and then their significant other breaks up with them. And they're sobbed and they're ruined on Valentine's Day forever.
You know, when I was in high school and college, I worked in a restaurant, and you work with a lot of girls in a restaurant, and a lot of them who did not have boyfriends wore black on that day and would go out and have dinner together. It was an odd
like
thing.
Like a Galentine's Day, yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Because, again, I think there's an expectation on Valentine's Day to have a date and for there to be romance. And when there's not, you feel left out, I guess.
Well, but, you know, this is the whole thing. Because a lot of people get in relationships prior to Christmas to get a gift.
What?
Oh, yeah. That's common knowledge.
That's absurd.
No, it's common. A lot of people get in relationships because they have to go see the family. And they take somebody to see the family. And they buy a gift and they get a gift. But then by Valentine's Day, that's worn off. Because right. New Year's, somebody got drunk and just ruined the whole thing. And so Valentine's Day for a lot of people can be very depressing.
Yeah, I think so.
But a lot of champagne, a lot of wine, a lot of chocolate, a lot of... roses. It's a day for people.
I guess. I don't know. I don't drink and I don't particularly enjoy chocolate. So.
You know, it's interesting though, but a lot of people will use this as a day to tell people that they like them because they can get away
That's
with
true.
Giving a card
right.
that they could not normally get away with doing on a regular day.
That was always something weird too. When I mean, I haven't been single in so long that I can't even, I pretty much have not been single since I was 16, so I can't really,
Now, how old
were
you when you got married?
21.
So what was going on at 16?
Well, I had a long-term relationship.
You had a long-term?
Before my, yes.
Now, what happened there?
What happened was that we were 16.
So, but you thought you were in love.
Well, sure.
Oh,
I mean,
sure. 16-year-olds do.
Yeah.
Now, we had a conversation not too long ago about could you be friends with a past boyfriend or girlfriend, mm-hmm. and I think you said that you did not have a past boyfriend.
No, that's... No, I... I have had...
See, you're
not
caught now.
Very many past boyfriends is what I said. Yes,
so
I didn't date
a
lot. Could I be friends?
With that boy who you thought you were in love with when you were 16.
Probably not.
See, there you go. There's a jealousy.
But my husband wouldn't have a problem with it.
That wouldn't
bother him. Yeah, I couldn't be friends with him.
Did it end badly?
It did end badly.
Oh.
Very, very badly.
Oh, how? What happened?
No,
just like a roundabout. What happened?
It was not a healthy relationship. We'll just say that.
Okay. Well.
It was not good.
It wasn't like he was with somebody else, was it?
Well, that happened too.
Oh, well,
wasn't even what ended it. You are very stupid and silly when you are 16.
but you met your husband.
Yes.
On the internet.
I did.
And everything turned out okay.
Yep.
But it was taboo in those days.
It was taboo.
It was taboo.
I remember my boss at the time was so panicked that I was going to meet this man from the internet. And she made me give her, you know, my cell phone number and all of this information and make sure that you call me when you get there because she was sure that I was going to be murdered. So, thanks, dear, for not being a murderer.
For not being a murderer.
Yeah.
Now, here's something interesting. Do you know what the biggest fight this time of year between people who live together is?
What, money?
No. What temperature the thermostat is set on in the house? Did you know about this?
No, but that
yes.
is a familiar argument.
So where is it in your house?
68.
That's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who gets it there?
My husband.
He likes it cold.
Yes.
Now you would like to set it at what?
At least 70. I'm always cold. Always. I'm freezing right now. My fingernails are purple.
What's cold?
Yeah.
But how did he win this battle?
Because I'm also cheap, so
you don't want to pay a big bill.
No. I grew up in a house on a lake that wasn't even made for year-round habitation, so we didn't have a furnace. We had like space heaters through the whole house, so I'm used to being cold all the time. I hate it, but I'm used to it. And I don't love paying large heating bills, so...
See, I can't take the cold.
Yeah, I don't enjoy it.
I live alone, so I get to choose where the thermostat is set.
Scott, be brave. Turn it up to 70.
Well, I did. It's up because nothing worse than feeling cold.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, at least when you're cold, you can add more layers, right? You can always put on a down comforter or, down jacket or something. But when you get hot... at some point you can't take any more off. You're just stuck with the heat.
But you know, it's interesting. When I did live with somebody, what I remember, I think they liked having the thermostat up too. So we were compatible in that way.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, but most people apparently aren't. Apparently this is a big war about the thermostat in the winter.
Yep, I think that's valid.
Now, a lot of these things this week have to do with Valentine's Day because we're upon it. Do you think it's old-fashioned to ask for the father?
Ask the father's permission.
To marry the daughter.
Yes.
Yes. Well, apparently some people think not.
Right. My mother.
Oh, your mother.
Yes. She's dead now, but yes.
But at the time,
yeah,
she thought...
She just, that was her thing, is that she always felt like she should be asked permission to date me or whatever. And I was
that
like,
your boyfriend should ask mm-hmm. permission to date you.
Yes. And, I mean, she was already dead by the time I proposed to my husband, so...
She wouldn't have been happy with that.
I think she would have been fine with the fact that I proposed, but I don't know. I don't know. Because she definitely had...
Did you ask his parents?
No, I talked to his mom before, but he was a grown man. So I'm not going to ask somebody's permission to make a decision, a life decision, pertaining to a grown man.
Well, I don't know that that's the point of this.
Well, it is to me.
No, I think the point is to get in good
with the in-laws.
And I also think that most people who get married in a traditional wedding, they still, who gives this person away and the father stands up. So, I mean, but they're not really, it's not legal. If the father doesn't say, I'm not going to do it, it's not like the wedding comes to a halt.
So well, it probably just, would if he said he wasn't going to do it.
I think it's just good manners.
There would be fireworks, I think, if somebody did that.
But it's one of those things where the mother and the father, or the whoever's raising the child, does take care of that child mm-hmm. through whatever age, 16, 18, 21, whenever the job is done, and this person is taking care of them the rest of their life. It kind of relieves you of that position.
But in the case of my husband, he had been taking care of himself for for years and years and years before I ever came along, so it to me, I don't ever want any of my children to feel like I somehow have possession of them until such time as, and it seems to be especially pervasive for asking the father's permission to marry a daughter.
I
think that's
you have girls,
wrong.
Right?
Yes.
I bet your husband feels different.
No, he does not.
You're sure?
And if
wait till they start to date. Till they start to date.
No, I am sure we have had that conversation. And if he ever said something like that, he and I would go toe to toe for sure. I would win that battle.
Now you wait. You wait when your daughters date that guy that uh-huh. you dated at 16.
Uh-huh.
When they date them.
Oh, I'm aware it's going to happen.
And then you watch your husband's attitude on this thing completely change. It just does. I've seen that happen all the time.
There's a difference between not liking somebody's boyfriend and demanding that somebody they've been with long enough that they decide they want to marry them has to ask your permission for that.
But
that's weird to me.
But you assume that the parents always like the long-term relationship.
No, I'm not assuming.
If your husband did not like your daughter's boyfriend,
right,
and she decides to marry him, or mm-hmm. he's proposed to her, and he didn't know anything about it, couldn't have a talk to say, I think it's too early, I don't think this is a good idea, could you wait a little bit?
Sure, you can have that talk, but you can't demand that they ask your permission. She's her own adult person.
No.
That's her business at that point.
Oh,
you're not in charge of who your children love and don't love. You're not in charge of the life decisions that they make beyond a certain point.
And the father can say no, but it's not necessarily going to stop the guy from proposing. But at
least then you've just created tension and
there's already tension if they don't like each other. Trust me. Let's take the phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you and the young lady there, you're really good on the debate on everything you've said since I've been listening to you. Boy, it's too bad you haven't got your other buddies there. You know, this thing would really catch fire, wouldn't it?
I bet Charlie would agree with me on this one. I bet Charlie he's traditional.
Well, I'll tell you. Here's one, you know me, but I want to tell you something. And the young lady, when I asked Carol, I never asked her to marry me. So it was Christmas Eve, and I bought her an engagement ring. And it was in a little plastic box, see? And so I handed it to her, and she looked at me like, and that was it, see? And then all at once, she looked at the ring, and all at once, the little plastic box went snap, and I thought, oh, no, what the heck's wrong? I thought this was a cinch thing. I didn't ask her mother, I didn't ask her father, and I didn't ask my mother, or I didn't ask my father, and it was just between her and I, because that's the way we are going to live together, the way I thought. And so here we are, 57 years from that click on the box, and that's the way it was.
Hey, not...
But I ask, always ask Carol and other people when I tell them the story like this, they said, "What? Why didn't you say something, Carol?" She said, "I thought my mom would kill me if I got married."
There it is.
Well, that's a cute story. Congratulations.
So that was a kind of young thing. But her mother said, "You're not marrying her." And I said, "Well, I want to tell you something right now." I said, "One thing in my favor, we can go across the border, and you don't have to be present to marry. You know, the law tied in there then, like, no. But you know what? My mother-in-law loved me so well. And I loved her so well that we got along fine. As long as I bought her fish for her to fillet and wild game for her to eat, she loved both of them. So that's the moral of the story. Carol still loves me today, talking over the air or listening to it. So have a good day,
thank
guys.
You.
And I can see there's a lot of potential on both subjects, or both of you saying something to each other. You're both very great on both of them. That there's no two people alike, and no two people are going to be the same when that question was asked or even thought about it. And like the young lady said, she was young then. Yeah, 16, she was young. Did you know if you was in love or not? Well, I'll tell you something about love. I don't know what the word love really means. You love a nice big ice cream cone, and you love this. That word's used very loosely, but... I think after you're married so far, you know exactly what it is between the two couples. Have a good day.
You too. Happy Valentine's Day.
So telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What's your opinion? Now, I'm not saying, again, this is not a blanket statement, that if you don't ask for the hand in marriage, that it's going to be a disaster. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think that the gesture is a nice gesture. I think... It makes life a lot easier.
I don't know. To me, it feels like there's some weird possession of your child, which I don't like. But, I mean, it's not bad to ask, especially if you already have a good relationship with her parents. You know they're going to say yes, you know. I mean, do what you got to do. But for me, I would never, ever... What if somebody came to me and asked for my daughter's hand in marriage, I would think there was something wrong. Like, why are you asking me? She's the one you need to ask. It's her life, her body. Ask her.
Yeah, but what if you don't like the boy?
Well,
or
then
the
I,
girl. Or, you never
then
know.
I have to speak up about that way before that
now,
time.
Now, see, then why can't... See, here's the thing. If it's their body, their life, their choice, why ever speak up?
Well, I don't know that I will. We'll just have
to
see.
You will.
Yeah.
See, people think they won't, but they do.
No, I mean, my mom was always vocal, very vocal about whether or not she agreed with my choice in partner. But, you know, that didn't... She knew it was not going to change my mind because it didn't change her mind.
Yeah,
her parents were upset.
Do you really want 50 years of bad relationship with the in-laws?
No, and I mean, like I said, I made sure, you know, that I spoke with my in-laws before, not in a may I have your permission sort of way, but preparing them, especially
so
because we
it.
Hadn't been, no, but letting them know that I thought that we were heading in that direction
well,
at
that's
some
what
point.
This is.
No, that's different than asking permission for somebody's hand.
No. It's not,
yes, when you go and say... Okay. Would you would you allow me to propose to your daughter?
But that's not, I don't think, what they do. I think what they, no, I think what they do
that's what they
is
do.
I think they go and they say, would you have an issue if I proposed to your daughter? I think what they're setting that up for is the fallout that would happen after, because it does happen to a lot of people. I mean, let's be realistic.
Yeah.
If you feel that the in-laws don't like you, already and you propose, they're going to know about that. And that's going to create a problem.
But I don't recommend that. I honestly don't.
Mostly what this is it's about a warning is all it is.
I don't know. I don't think that's it.
The answer is not important. If the father said no.
Then why are you asking?
No. Because you're warning them. You're saying,
I'm going to do this. There's a difference between a warning and an asking permission. They're not the same thing.
You're so argumentative. Can't you agree with me one time?
If we were always in agreement, there would be no show.
Oh, no. But see, but I think you really mean this. I think you think there's something rigid about this.
There is. There's a weird possession. Because how many women do you know who have gone to their partner's mother and asked for her permission to marry?
Again, at the wedding, does the man's father stand up? No.
This is what I am saying.
It's biased
towards the idea that a father owns his daughter until such time as she gets married to her husband, at which point he takes over her life.
No.
That is what it is based in. Whether that's the intention now when people do it, it may be different, but that is what it is based in, and that is part of the reason why it makes me sick to my stomach to think about it.
Now, here's where I think you have conflicting views. Because last week on this show, we spent a majority of the program talking about B. Smith, the restaurateur.
Yes.
Okay. She has Alzheimer's, and she's still married to her husband. She's had Alzheimer's, by the way, since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
She's had it for 11 years.
Right.
She is not good right now mentally. And her husband is seeing somebody else now, but still living with her. Did not send her to a nursing home. And that's what happened. Now, you were totally against this. You said that that's wrong, that vows are till death do you part, and so on and so forth. Okay, that's traditional.
Yes.
Till death do you part. This is tradition, too. This is tradition. That's
no,
all it is.
There is no point to this beyond making a father feel like he had some part in handing over his daughter to her husband. There is a purpose to being loyal in marriage. If you have made a promise to somebody and said, I am going to stick by you till death do us part, if you don't do that, you've broken the vow. There is no vow to ask somebody's father for their permission.
But till death do you part, death is going to do you part one day. Most people don't
know
together.
And then you're free to move on.
Yeah, but see, here becomes the thing. If you marry somebody else after the first one dies, are you stuck again till death do you part? Because all this
that's the vow you've made.
To me, it just seems like a big suicide pact. It always just seems, that's what that sounds like to me. You guys are together till one of you dies. And then then you're free.
And not everybody takes that vow nowadays in marriage. There's all kinds of rewordings.
What about divorce? Disillusionment,
right?
Separation,
right? And if he were to divorce her, I'm sure that there would be people that would be upset because she was sick. But at least he wouldn't be having an affair. I don't know.
The problem is a marriage, whether it's a guy and a guy or a girl and a girl or a guy and a girl or whatever. If it's legal, see, both people don't agree on how this is going to end. Most people want to go first because they do. They don't want to have to mourn over their other person. And if there's a divorce, usually one person calls that, so the other person has no choice at all. So they're still till death do you part, but this person is until I find somebody else's issue.
Yes, but there's a difference between saying, you know, okay, this is definitely not working. I want to move on. This needs to end. And saying, well, I know that I made this promise, but things are hard now. So instead of doing what you need, I'm going to do what I need.
Here's what I'll say. When there is a bad relationship with the girl, because facts are girls are just, they're not as big as guys. You know, when there is domestic violence, it usually comes from the man. Now, it does come from the women. I'm not saying that's unheard of. But 90% of the time, it comes from the man to the woman. Now, that being said, when something like that happens, if the parents are around, usually you never hear about the brother or the best friend. It's the father who gets furious, and I'm going to get a gun, and I'm going to be a vigilante all of a sudden, and I'm going to go kill the boy. And that is tradition. That's traditional. And I'm not saying they don't want to do it, and they should. You should never hit a girl. That's uncalled for. But that's just part of it. We just have traditions in this society that we abide by, so not to cause a lot of trouble.
Well, I mean, I guess I've never really experienced that because my father was an absentee father. So
maybe that's what this is about.
Well, I don't think that's what this is about. But, you know, nobody, even if there is a father who does take a gun and threaten your partner when they're violent to you.
They should.
Yeah. Well, no, the police should take care of that.
Well, listen, I'm telling you, sometimes your blood boils.
Yes, I understand that. I would be hard-pressed to control myself if somebody were hurting my daughter. That is for sure. However, that's not the way to handle it because it never ends well in that situation. It doesn't, you don't end with a girl who is saying, "Thank you, Daddy, for rescuing me," and a partner who has been subdued. That is not how that ever ends.
No, but what I'm saying to you is if there, let's not even talk about a marriage. If there's a relationship between a boy and a girl, and for some reason the in-laws start to dislike that boy,
mm-hmm.
This is a way to smooth that over before you get married.
It doesn't smooth anything over for permission. No, it doesn't. If they don't like you, there are reasons, and it's not because...
Let me ask you this.
You're not getting permission from them.
Have you ever heard of somebody going to a father to ask permission and the father saying no?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
And did it stop the marriage?
No.
There you go. So what it is, it's a conciliatory...
But it didn't solve the problem. Going and asking his permission didn't solve anything.
I'll tell you, I knew an older couple that was very in love, okay? And one of the reasons, and I have never heard this done by anybody else, but one of the reasons the in-law loved the son that she got mm-hmm. through marriage mm-hmm. so much was because on his wife's birthday, he would send the mother roses for having the daughter.
Right.
Now, that is very wooden. That's very old-fashioned. That's very goofy. But it endeared him to her. And that's all this is. You're just trying to endear yourself to people you don't spend a lot of time with. Daughters are possessive of their... Our fathers are possessive of their daughters. If you are
not
close...
Not mine.
Well, not all. But if you are close with a girl when they're young, if you watch them grow up, if you see them graduate high school, if you drive them to the prom, if you drive them to homecoming, if you go with them through tonsillectomies and all these things, you're very attached to your child. And especially a father and a daughter. It's a little bit different with a son and a mother. And it's just one of those things. It's very hard for a father to take his daughter getting married, even when he likes the boy.
I don't think that's healthy. I think as parents, I don't know that that is true. If it's true, you need to seek help before that point, because there is always a point for a parent. You know, the instant you are pregnant, the instant you get that positive test result, that at some point you have to let that child go. They
yes,
are going
you do.
To be
sure.
an adult. And so you can't go into it thinking, well, you know, over my dead body.
No,
and
if
somebody comes and asks you who you don't like, if my daughter is dating somebody
right.
and my husband hates her boyfriend, there are going to be reasons he hates them.
Right.
It's not just because she has a boyfriend.
But
so if he hates him and the boy comes to my husband and asks, "May I marry your daughter?" That is not going to do anything to make my husband feel better about her marrying the boy, because it doesn't solve the problem.
But I tell you why I think you're wrong here. Because usually when the couple gets together, that has nothing to do with the parents. And a lot of the first relationship, a lot of times the parents are horrified just because it's the first relationship. So that instance where the son-in-law or the son or the soon-to-be son-in-law goes and asks the father, that's the first time there's a conciliatory get-together between those two people that doesn't involve the daughter being in the room, that is not set up by the daughter, that doesn't involve the whole family being there at a party or a holiday. It's one of those things that you took the effort to show some kind of respect to the person. Now, if they say no, big deal.
So make the effort before that point then. There was plenty of time that I spent with my future mother-in-law without my future husband before we ever got
them.
Well, then why? Look, one of the best pieces of advice that I ever got about getting married was you don't just marry the person, you marry the family. If you cannot stand their family, things are going to be miserable for you.
Yes.
Regardless of how much you love your partner.
I agree with that.
So if you don't love the family, you need to think long and hard about whether or not you want to hitch your cart to that horse.
But this makes a whole big long discussion, and we don't have the time. But is love voluntary or involuntary? If it's involuntary, which I think most people would say it is, you don't just fall out of love and say, sorry, I couldn't stand your family.
No, but at the point where you're ready to make a, you know, potentially lifelong contract with somebody, you have to think of the practicalities.
See, but I think you're approaching this as you approached life. And people are different. I'm telling you, there are girls who walk down the aisle today who are looking for the next husband. There are people who get married just for the wedding and the honeymoon and the gifts. There are girls who have never been on their own, and the parents are there their whole life and give them money and take care of them. And it's a big thing to let go of. And, you know, that's why it happens. So I don't think you don't have to do it if the father's dead. If it's whatever, you don't have to do it. But to call it old fashioned, I think then a wedding's old fashioned.
I think that a
white wedding dress is old fashioned.
I agree.
I think that the father giving away. But see, that's your.
And I'm actually very, I tend to be very traditional. I lead a very traditional life. But there are social constructs that we have to recognize as social constructs at some point. You can't just, I guess you can. If you just want to go through life doing what everybody told you is the thing that you do, then go for it. But I was not raised to never question anything. And so if I choose to do something, if I choose to follow a tradition, it's because I find some merit in it. It's not because it's just what everybody does.
Well, let me ask you this. If your husband started wearing dresses, would you have a problem with it?
No.
I think that's not true.
I would not have a problem with it.
You would go out in public with him wearing dresses.
Yes.
And that would not change anything.
Nope.
For most people, it would.
And I understand that.
Right. But you know what that is? That's a social norm.
Yes, of course. And, you know, to each their own. When you marry a person, you come in, if you have an expectation and then all of a sudden your partner is completely different 20 years in, they make some drastic life change without consulting you, that's a different story. There are renegotiations that maybe have to happen there. But for me,
marriage is a negotiation?
No, I'm saying when you go into a marriage, you go in with certain expectations of who you are and what your roles are and that sort of thing. You don't go in just going, well, you know, c'est la vie, whatever's going to
be. You have
to.
Que sera, sera.
You can't.
You have to say que sera, sera, because the only person you really control in your life is yourself.
Yes, but if you are living with a person, if you are earning money with a person, if you bring children into this situation, you have to raise children together, there has to be some trust and understanding and some respect for each other. There has to be some knowing of the person.
And at some point, you might want the in-laws to babysit on Valentine's Day.
That's
and
true.
If you don't,
so you marry the family.
And if you don't ask for permission, they might tell you no dice.
You don't need to ask for permission.
You don't need to, but I don't think it's old-fashioned.
I think it's old-fashioned. I think it's rooted in the possession of a woman. we as an object rather than a person.
No, I think that's wrong. I think that you should never
that's
look
where
at...
That's where it started.
But I'm saying I don't think you should ever look as at anybody as a possession. So if that's what's behind this, it is wrong. But do I think that's what people are approaching it as? Do I think the police are going to come stop the wedding if the father says
well,
no, you can't
have
it?
No, of course not.
So then it's not... we're not there anymore. It's not... You don't
but
give dowries anymore.
It's empty.
It's not...
It doesn't do anything,
no,
so what is the purpose of it?
Will. If somebody walks up in the morning, that you a friend of yours, and says, do I look nice today, and they look like a slab of cement floor, do you say
then
yes?
Then you're a good friend, and you tell them you might want to go back
that?
To the mirror. This is what my friends depend on me for, that I'm going to be honest enough
so
with
you've
them.
Never told a little white lie.
No, of course I've told white lies,
that's
not to my
is.
Good friends.
That's all this is.
No, it's
this, that's all this is.
What,
this is.
What is the white lie?
Both
that
of them
you,
are lying. Because the husband is just doing it to get in the good
then
graces.
Don't do it.
And
there's
the father,
no point to it. If you want to get in the good graces of your future in-laws, you don't need to do it by asking for their permission to marry your significant other. You do it before that point. You go out and build relationships with them before it gets to that point.
Oh, then you got to spend time with them.
Yes,
oh.
You do. This relationships are work. You got to do it, though. If
this
you
is
want
why
healthy
my,
relationships, you have to do it.
This is why my thermostat's on 76 and nobody's there to complain about it. Conciliatory. Have a happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Charlie Evers will be back next week. I'll be sitting in for him for the next 2 hours. It's fun as always, Brandy. Now, next week, what are we going to talk about? It'll be the day after Valentine's Day.
We'll probably talk about what we did on Valentine's
Day.
Go
home and ask your husband about your... have that discussion.
I told you we've had that discussion.
Yeah, but have it now. Have it in recent time. Ask him if I'm right about this or not, that he'll want to be
all
asked.
Right.
All right. We'll come back next week. 10 minutes. I'll be back with trivia and lots of fun. Stay tuned.
LLC. Address 141 South Main Street. Telephone number 740-262-6050. Facebook.